director for 12 more weeks at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. You're listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. And don't forget that these shows always get uploaded to the NAGB's website after they've aired at www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and then scroll down to Public Programs. You'll find a link for Blank Canvas. And if you go there, you can look at who's been on the show and listen to all the old shows. And it's a great archive, so I really recommend it. And you can also, while you're on the website, look at all the other stuff we have going on at the NAGB. We are open again. So we do have events happening. We're going to be having a screening for Black History Month at the end of the month, February 27th. We'll be screening Black Moses by Travolta Cooper, who is a Bahamian filmmaker. We also have our series of talks, the ACE series, that is still online. We have Charles White, who is going to be speaking about the Black collectors in the States and the rise of, you know, the interest in African-American artists and collectors. So that's going to be quite interesting. So go to the NAGB website, see what we have there. We also still have a lot of online stuff for people that are still being very cautious and staying at home. So, you know, lesson plans, things for the kids, things for teachers, online tours of our exhibitions, all kinds of stuff. So really, there's a lot there on the NAGB website. And yeah, go check it out. So we're going to now hear from the artist, Kendra Furup, who is back on the Blank Canvas. Last time you were in Turks and Caicos, Kendra, and the Wi-Fi was not behaving. But now we've got you. So welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Likewise.
So for the audience that didn't know the whole thing about the show, tell us a little bit about the plan. Jody referred to it at the beginning. She said, you know, you had this crazy idea to make something. And tell us a little bit about your crazy idea and what was there hanging at the exhibition.
So just to give you a little background information, Lauren Aloesco and I have had this ongoing relationship. She's been a huge collector of my work for the Island House and Mahogany House. She came up with the idea of Turn Gallery, and we briefly talked about it late last year. Then earlier this year, she came back right after the pandemic and said that it was going to launch. And I said, I have an idea. Take a ride with me. you know, a year ago, I had this health scare. And I decided that from moving forward, I'm going to start ticking off things on my bucket list.
Yeah,
and cool. So one of the things on my bucket list was this desire as an artist to do a collaborative work with Mortimer Candy Kitchen. That started way back in 1992 or 93, something like that, when I did my graduate thesis. My fondest memory is of Mortimer Candy Kitchen after getting that booster shop running, coming down the hill. So I always wanted to do this collaborative piece with Mortimer. So I spoke to Lauren about the idea, and she took the ride with me. So that was pretty exciting. That she was willing to take such a risk, because it was a crazy idea, where we would cast sugar apple candies. And not only did she take the ride, she convinced Mortimer to take the ride. So that was pretty exciting. And thus our relationship, thus the show that's just closed a few days ago. And it's been a wonderful collaboration experience with both Mortimer and Turner.
Yeah, no, Mortimer Candies is really such a kind of iconic part of all of our childhoods and hopefully our continued history. And I think, again, it was so nice to at that moment to shine a focus on them when everybody's struggling, all these family-run businesses are struggling. You know, it was really nice to do something to kind of big them up. And I actually have one of those sugar apples. I have a sugar apple made out of Mortimer's candy. And I keep it in my fridge so it doesn't melt. And then sometimes I take it out. And my husband's like, what are you doing with that sugar apple? And I'm like, I'm just gonna look at it. I don't want to eat it. So that's great. And it was really a beautiful show. I have to say, it was very lovely that you created kind of like a chandelier sort of hanging down. Yeah. But what Jody was talking about, and what I think is so interesting, is that, you know, she was talking about how you know, there's like a nostalgia to the show. And I think your work does have a lot of like nostalgia to it in a certain degree, because you, you know, you make prints and you cast things that are, you know, very part of our existence, you know, like straw baskets, like sugar apples, like Mortimer candy, like, you know, the parquet floors. You use these references about like, again, our traditional way of building, our traditional way of doing things. But what I think is funny is that you do live abroad. So I was wondering whether you ever considered how much, and Anina too, because, you know, when you live here, you're sort of like, oh, I can't wait for this place to, everything to be online. And why can't we be 21st century? And, you know, we're trying to kind of drive ourselves into this future. And we get sort of annoyed by the things that are sort of charming in a way. Like I've tried to, yeah. I've tried to adjust my thinking that when I go to the bank and the bank teller is chatting to every single person about their kids, that I remember how charming that is. And that me getting through that line quickly, it isn't as important, you know. So I find it interesting that both you and Anina kind of value these things that I feel like we living at home almost forget to value. Do you feel that like being away makes you more like caring about, again, these sort of objects and things that when we just have them there, we sort of overlook them?
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, it starts from, you know, when I land, it's seriously... Mm-hmm. You know, I look out of the airplane and I see the workers, they move a little slower. You get into the airport, moves a little slower. But, you know, you savor, you know, the conversations. People take the time to really talk to you. I can walk into my building at school and no one would say this morning, like no one will say good morning or, you know, have a conversation. But being away from home, you value those, that sort of, you know, culture, you know, where we take the time to enjoy or value small things, making things. You know, everything is instant where I'm at. I'm not going to call out, but everything is instant, digital. There are no relationships. You know, the craft is different. It's all digitally made. I was making something the other day and, you know, it was all computer generated. And then I stopped in the middle of it and I thought, no, I'm going to do it the old fashioned way. And so being away from Nassau or the Bahamas, you value that more.
Mm-hmm. But also I feel like you value the objects too. Like, yes. You know, like here, you know, a lot of people don't use a straw basket, but they feature so much in your work, you know, because we're all like, oh, I want a Gucci handbag or whatever. You know, where I feel like sometimes when you're away, like I know when I grew up in the UK, and even though I'm Bahamian, we moved there when I was very small. And I found that like when I moved to America to go to grad school, I suddenly started wanting to eat all these foods that I didn't eat all the time in the UK, right?
Exactly.
Like I didn't eat Marmite on toast every day, but when I was, it was kind of a way to hold on. You're there, you almost like hold on to these things.
Is about, you know, collecting for something specific, but as I, in my search, I collect and I hoard things that reference home because I want to hold on to them, and I may not use them for years and years, and I may never use them, you know, but it's where I start with just collecting these things that reference the objects that mm-hmm. reference culturally, you know, the floors, the wooden floors. I grew up in a both the wonkiness of how we put things together, you know, the lines aren't exactly straight. The color palette, you know, mm-hmm. is all my, it all stems from my background and these small nuances, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's very, you really feel it. Like your work has got this very material, and that's something, you know, a lot of times people ask me like, how would you describe Bahamian art? Right. And that's like an impossible, like, how do you describe human beings? You know, they come in so many different, but you know, you say, well, I guess they've got two legs. And when I think about it, I always come back to use the material. Even though we have, again, a lot of painters here that are just using the same paint, I feel like there's a way of, you know, even if it's just the way the frame is built or the way it's stretched, but yes. I feel like when a lot of our artists, too, you've probably noticed yourself, they start as painters, they get taught how to paint at COB, but a lot will actually start sticking things on or the canvas will become like a 3D work, and then they're like, you think of a John Beadle, who's basically a sculptor now.
Yeah.
And so I always come back to that material. And, you know, Heino Schmidt, I think of John Cox. There's always this kind of love of of just material. I don't know of another word I could say, and sort of like what's around us. And I think that's something to me that speaks very strongly in Bahamian art.
Yeah, and for me, it's important that when you see my work, or when I, or even when I look at a work of art, that I can walk away from it, thinking about it even more. I don't need that description to the side. I think my work, I try to give the essence, to give a feeling, an emotion, you know, beyond just the visual, you know, a sense of, like the Mortimer candy, that sense of a smell or the touch. And I, in viewing work myself, I enjoy that. So.
Well, I think that's also really interesting about your work, because I do feel like your work is like tactile somehow. Like I, you know, whenever I see it, I want to touch it, which is probably I shouldn't be saying as a museum professional, because we're always like, don't touch
that's
me.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. But also, like, especially like recently, a lot of your work is kind of, so you might do a print. There might be like a sculptural element to it. Maybe the print is living on a wooden, you know, a wooden flooring background, but then you've built these sort of perspex boxes around them. But very often, things actually penetrate that glass. They penetrate the frame. So it looks like hanging on the wall, but you look at it sideways and hanging kind of 3D. It's coming out of the glass. What, why? And so, like, cause.
So my training, first of all, again, I come from this, my dad's a boat builder, contractor. Later contractor, right? So I grew up with these objects and these things and these materials. My training is that of a sculptor, so I'm very process oriented, and I strive to break the plane of the glass. I'm a frustrated painter, thus I print. I print a lot, so I paint through printing layers and layers and layers. But I always want to break the plane of the glass to fool the eye. How do you do that? Not to be clever, but it's you know, for my personally, I like that, the idea of the push and pull, what's in front of you, what's behind the glass, how'd you do that?
When also, yeah. Where does the art end somehow, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And by the way, I believe in touching also. It's not, you shouldn't, but I believe in touching also.
Okay.
My dad passed away recently, and one of my greatest lessons from him, I worked with him in construction for a while. One of the greatest lessons he said to me is, close your eyes and run your hands on the side of the wall. Now feel it. That's how you see it. And so that was one of the biggest lessons I got from him.
That's really interesting. It's almost like, again, being blind, maybe.
Yes.
Like, you know, learning to see through feel. And yeah. I mean, I agree with you. There is something. I mean, when I do see a great sculpture or something, you know, again, like, I do want to touch it. And I think sometimes it is even appropriate to touch it. Obviously, yeah. In a museum, it's hard because you can't have like 8,000 people touching something. But I think there is, like, with good sculpture, there is something about like feeling it as well.
Yeah. And I'm exploring in my own work right now that it's sensory too. I mean, this, you can have this sense of smell, sense of taste, implied or direct, you know, the candy idea, that sense of smell, what's that smell, you know? So I'm exploring, what do I hear? Did I really hear something? You know, I'm exploring other senses.
Yeah, well, I think that's possible. I mean, I talk about it, you know, with Jackson's work sometimes, you know, and I always say you can hear his work because you can hear something in his work, because the use of color is so, you know, that you automatically, it just, somehow it you sense that, you sense sound because of the way the colors like clash with each other. And because, you know, any of us that have seen Junkanoo and then you see it. So I do believe that you can, like, through a two-dimensional work, I do believe you can, again, recall senses of smell, senses of touch, things like that. That's really interesting. So anyway, we're going to go to a quick break. I'm here talking to Kendra Forup, whose show just closed at Turn Gallery, which is out in Mahogany Hill, the show Inherited Values, which was with Kendra Forup and Anina Major. But there is tomorrow night a talk that you can all join called Materials and Methods. It's a virtual artist talk with Kendra. You go to the Instagram page of Turn, which is at Turn Gallery, and you can click on the link in bio and get an invitation. You can probably also go to their website, www.turngallery.com, and sign up for the talk. So Kendra's going to be talking more about her practice. So if you didn't get enough tonight, you can get more tomorrow. And then also there's an event on Saturday night. So if you missed the show, you can still go into the space. Kendra will be there. After the break, we'll hear about what that's going to be. And that's on Saturday between 5 and 6. So there's still quite a lot happening. We're going to go to a short break. We're going to come back and we're going to hear more from Kendra Farup, who is currently showing at the Turn Gallery. So you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you're listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. We're going to be right back after this break.